I want to start off by refreshing your memory on the story of the Good Samaritan. So it's, if you want to follow, it's Luke 10:30. Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down to the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed on the other side. And so too the Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But the Samaritan, as he travelled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to the inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you any extra expense that you may have.' Which one of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The experts in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." I don't know about you, but there are times when I have to be constantly reminded that as a Christian, I actually represent Christianity, as a lot of you do. And so with this story, I'm thinking, am I like the priest and the Levite? If I saw somebody lying on the roadside, would I cross over? You could be excused, I think. Or you could think it would be quite a Christian act if you just dialed up a donkey, put the beaten man on the donkey and pay for it, and just sent him home. To me, that sounds like quite a good Christian act. But the Samaritan did more. He bound his wounds. He put him on his donkey, took him to the inn to recover, and then paid for all his expenses. Jesus says in John 13:34, and I know you all know the verse, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, so that all men will see that you are my disciples." And that's what the Good Samaritan did. And so for me to remember this, I have a catchphrase. And it might be helpful for you too. Christianity 101. I mean, that sounds good. And you may be asking yourself, what is Christianity 101? Well, the truth is I haven't a clue. It sounds good. But I do have a catchphrase. And the catchphrase is, just so I can remember, just love the one in front of you. That's what the Samaritan did. He just loved the one in front of him. And another good example is when Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well. Here we have Jesus at Jacob's well. He's tired, he's thirsty, and he comes across the Samaritan woman. Now, Jesus doesn't have to ask. He knows everything about her. He knows that she has had 5 husbands, and the one that she's living with is not her husband. Now, he could have taken the moral ground and gone, okay, I'll rest, I'll quench my thirst, and I'm going. But he didn't. In fact, he told her the story about eternal life, about the living water of life. And from that conversation, half the town, or more than half the town, came to know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Loving the person in front of you. That's all Jesus did. He came across her and he loved her to the point of sharing salvation. I want to tell you another couple of stories that are closer to home. A colleague of mine, a friend, a Christian colleague of mine, he told me the story of parking his car in a pay car park, put in for an hour, went to his meeting, and he was 10 minutes late. 10 minutes late, and he got a ticket. No, he was 8 minutes late, I apologize. He was 8 minutes late, and he got a ticket, and it was $80. He was not happy with an $80 ticket for 8 minutes. So he found the attendant, and he said to him, "Listen, man," he's South African, they speak like that. He even calls me man, and he goes, "Gee, that was great, man." You know, they're very, very short-sighted. But he went up to the attendant, and he said, "Can you cancel my ticket? It's only 8 minutes." And the attendant said, "No." And Francois said, "Okay, that's fine. I understand. My fault. I shouldn't have been late. And it's 8 minutes and it's my fault. And I'm sorry. Hey, listen, you're doing a good job." And the attendant said, "Look, I'm sorry. I can't." He says, "It's okay. It's okay." He said, "You're doing a great job. Have a great day." He went to leave and the attendant came up, stopped him, and he said, "I've cancelled your ticket." He goes, "That is great. Why?" And he said, he looked at him first and he saw tears in his eyes. And he said, "I get abused every day." He says, "I have people who come up into my face and threaten me with abuse." He said, "But you," he said, "you showed kindness and understanding." And now they both have tears in their eyes. What was that all about? It was a Christian showing Christian love to somebody who could actually bring them to tears. My other story is, a friend told me, which proves I have at least two friends, that she was driving along the road and by accident she cut off the car beside her. Now, that person was not happy. She could tell by the rear vision mirror that, you know, she was not happy. And when this person went and overtook her, and she just verbally went for her and gave her the royal welcome. So, my point is, if that person had understood loving the person in front of you, it would have saved her heaps of embarrassment when they both turned up at church together. True story. True story. We have a situation as Christians. Truly. When things get tough, when things get hard, even if you're traveling along the road, we need to love the person in front of us. When things get tough, when there are situations that are challenging, that are difficult, and they happen amongst us all, God has said to us, it is easy to love the ones who love us. What credits us that? It's easy to be good to the ones who are good to us, but what credits us that? Even the sinners do that. But here's our God. He's so good. Because we can find it so difficult to do just that, love the one in front of us, just to love each other or be good disciples. He has given us a plan, a blueprint. And not just that, if we understand it and abide by it and put it into place, we get blessed. And I tell you, I'm pretty happy about that because I'm martyring myself as not a strong point. So, God has said for us too. If we judge, we won't be judged. And that's a positive. If we condemn, we won't be condemned. That's a positive. If we forgive, we will be forgiven. And if we do good, we will be. If we do good, we will be given. And if we are given, now I'm getting very mixed up. If we are given, we will be given a good mixture, a good measure. When you think of that, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, pouring out over our lap. But here's the thing. We are going to be, if the measure that we use, we need to be the measure that we receive, because that is how it's going to be judged. We are going to receive however we measure ourselves. Does that make sense? The way we give out is what we are going to give back. Now, some of you might want to run around this room going, "Yes, yahoo, Lord, bring it on." And others might be going, "Uh-oh, you're telling me that what I give out is what I'm going to receive?" That's what the Bible says. And so I'm hoping that the catchphrase, Christianity 101, is helpful. It helps us. That we listen to that small voice. I'm going to tell you the story too about John Wesley was at his church and they had a lay preacher preaching. The lay preacher was not educated, but he talked on the verse in Luke, I think it's 19, about, "I fear you because you are an austere man." And he talked about diving down to the depths of the sea, pulling up oysters, hands cut, and relating to God coming down to earth. At the end of that talk, 12 men gave their lives to the Lord. 12 men gave their lives to the Lord. But at the same time, an irate person came up to John Wesley and said, "Why is it that you have somebody who's uneducated to come and talk at the service?" That person didn't even know that the austere man wasn't the oyster man. He thought he was the oyster man. And John Wesley, in all his understanding of love, the person in front of you, said, "Today, Jesus has received a dozen oysters." There's a message there. There's a message there. Number one, don't condemn. And number two, let's just love the person in front of us. Let's just love the person in front of us. And that is what helps us to be seen, to be good disciples. Because as time goes by and history is going to show us that we really can't afford to be lukewarm. We really do need to make a stand. We really do need to be seen. And so I hope a catchphrase of Christianity 101's okay, it sounds good, but just love the one in front of you.
Hi, church. Papa, your words. My words are your words. Just thank you for being with us this morning, like you are all the time. So just lead and guide. Last time I was here, or last time I spoke on a plane, if you remember correctly. And as it was lifting, it used the law of lift to overcome the law of gravity. Just like spiritual laws overcome natural laws, Jesus spoke. He used his words, spiritual things that we can't see. God spoke, sorry. Spiritual things that we can't see to create this natural world, this natural universe. And last week, Paul spoke, and he spoke on the law of confession. No, didn't he? He spoke on the tongue. And he said, if you say you can, or you say you can't, you're right. That's pretty profound. If you say you can, or you say you can't, you're right. And Steph's just spoken on loving the one in front of you. So to the people who were here 2 weeks ago on Sunday night at the Fiji trip, thank you for loving the one in front of you. The words I spoke were not words of life. And I want to apologise and say I'm sorry. When God spoke, he meant what he said. And he created us to be exactly the same, to speak and mean what we say. You see, he said, let there be light. And guess what? Sciences are discovering that the universe is still expanding at the speed of light. Because God never said, let the light stop. He just said, let there be light. I said I was changing my self-talk. You might remember. I enjoy public speaking. However, I've realised that I've got to change my self-talk a lot more than just public speaking. When I was studying and preparing for this morning, I started hearing myself speak. Steph certainly helped me as well. And you know, a lot of what we say is actually negative. A lot of what I say is actually negative. When I was younger, had a young family, and my thinking time was when I went to bed. So I'd go to bed, and I'd start to think. I'd think about the business and what I was going to do the next day. And I planted a seed. And guess what? Guess what happens when I go to bed now? Ah, that's right, I start to think. I've got to change my self-talk. I can remember I went to a conference and I learned a little bit about positive thinking at this conference. And I came home from the conference and I had a one and a half year old son who used to wet his bed like every child goes to bed at night or wets his nappies. So I started to say to him, you're going to have a dry night tonight. You're going to have a dry night tonight. You're going to have a dry night tonight. You know, within a week, he stopped wetting his nappies. Within a week, because of self-talk. When I was in my very early teens, 12 or 13, a couple of years ago, we had an Irishman come and stay with us. Only thing I remember about him was he had one leg shorter than the other. He had a great sense of humour, and he played a good game of table tennis. He was in his 20s, and I looked up to him and I respected him. And one day, while him and I were playing table tennis, he said to me, you could sell ice to Eskimos. You know something? That went down into my belly. That seed he spoke over me. At the age of 20, I left a secure government job, was secure in those days, and I went out on my own selling insurance, and I've been in sales businesses, or anything related to sales ever since. Because he planted a seed which took root and grew into a tree. So friends, what are you confessing today? Over yourself? Over your spouse? Over your children, your grandchildren, your business, your work, your finances? What about your health? What you confess, you will eventually possess. What you confess, you will eventually possess. The Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I think Paul said last week, no one will rise above the level of their confession. You see, our words are spirit. They're life. They live. And good or bad, they'll go deep into your belly and they'll grow. So maybe someone has spoken words over you today that have hurt you. Not necessarily today. But maybe they've spoken words over you that have hurt you. Yeah.
I hear it all the time.
You hear it all the time. Yeah. Yeah, well, Revelations 12 and 11 says, you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, or by speaking God's words, speaking out aloud God's words. You can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. However, you might start speaking things and it may take some time. It might not happen tomorrow. It might not happen in a week. But I assure you, it will happen. It will happen. If we look at Luke chapter 1, and I'm actually reading from the New Living Testament because the New Living Translation, because I like that Bible, that translation I like. And we start reading from verse 6, reading about Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. Then we go down to verse 11. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer." Guess what? He'd been praying for something. He's old, but he's still praying. "Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son." Ah, he'd been praying for a son, eh? "And you are to name him John." Then we go down to verse 18. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? How? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent until the child is born. For my words," Gabriel's words, "will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Zechariah was struck dumb. Why? Maybe because Gabriel didn't want him speaking words of death over this child. And then if we go down to verse 26 in the same chapter, we see Gabriel turning up at Mary's and prophesying over Mary that she's going to have a son and he's going to be called Jesus. And if we go down further, verse 38, we read, and this is Mary talking, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true." Wow. She certainly accepted that word. And a seed was planted. But what about Zechariah? He mightn't have believed at the beginning, but he had over 9 months to think about this. A seed was planted in him as well. And 9 months later, they're all talking together, his family and Elizabeth's family. And they're saying, what are you going to call the baby? And Elizabeth said, we're going to call him John. And they said, no, you can't call him John. There's nobody in your family called John. Why would you want to call him John? Let's ask Zechariah. So they go to Zechariah and he writes down on a tablet, his name shall be John. And immediately he could speak again and he started praising God. See, that seed had grown into a tree. He had thought about it and he knew. He could also see the evidence. You know, it doesn't matter what your unbelief is now. Whatever situation you're in right now, it does not matter. Because you can change your situation by speaking God's word over it. You can change your situation by speaking God's word over it. Jesus cursed the fig tree, remember? On the road to Emmaus, he cursed the fig tree and it dried up by the root. Whatever seed that Satan has planted in you, Jesus wants to dry it up by the root. He wants to take it out. He wants to get rid of it. What's in your life now and where you are now is where you have spoken and others have spoken over you. A good man, says in Matthew, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart produces good things. Let's start depositing good things into our hearts, church. Let's start putting good things. Speak aloud words of life over yourself. How about Psalm 1:3? I am like a tree planted by what sort of river? A mighty life-giving river. I produce what sort of fruit? Good fruit. I overcome anything that comes against me, and everything I do, I prosper. Speak it. Speak it out loud. And guess what? It will happen. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And you'll produce life. What you prophesy will strengthen. It'll encourage. And it'll bring comfort, not only to yourself, but to everybody you speak to. Ephesians 4:29 says, let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. No one can stop your progress but you. God has established it, and no one else can determine your future. I'm from Rotorua, and in Rotorua, we have a lot of lakes. There are two lakes right next door to each other. Does anyone know what they're called? Thank you, Blue and Green Lake. The Blue Lake you can go on, anybody can go on. You can swim in it, you can fish in it, you can water ski on it, you can do whatever. The Green Lake is tapu, or it's sacred. And the reason it's sacred is because there's an island in the middle of the lake that's a burial ground. Now, you can't see the island from the shore. It's a long way out. And as most of you know, my dad was an evangelist amongst the Māori people. And before I was born, one of the Māori men that had come to know the Lord as his saviour, he passed away, and Dad was asked to take his funeral or his burial service on this island. So the Christian Māori men and Māori women all got into their canoes. They had two canoes, one for the men, one for the women, and they paddled out to this island. Went onto the island, took the funeral service or the graveside service, and they went back down to get into the canoes, and the woman went first. And as the woman went, they got down and they washed their hands in a bowl of water. And then the men started washing their hands in the bowl of water. And Dad said, what are you doing that for? What are you washing your hands? And the woman said, if you don't wash your hands, a wind will come from the east. It'll blow your canoe to the west. And your body won't be found for 3 days. What do they speak out of their mouths? Dad said, ah, and it was just like my dad, ah, there's a lot of hoo-ha. I don't believe in that. That's superstitious. So Dad didn't wash his hands. Got into the canoes, men's canoe on the left, women's canoe on the right, and they're paddling back to shore. And a wind came up from the east, and started to blow the men's canoe. And it blew the men's canoe past the woman's canoe. The woman never even felt that wind. And it started to take them to the west. Dad said he'd never been so scared in his life up to that time. He said, "Sing, sing." So they sang chorus after chorus after chorus, and they paddled and they paddled and paddled, and over half an hour later, they managed to get to the shore. Be careful what you speak. Be careful what you say. And be careful what you accept as seed into your life. Because if someone's spoken seed over you now, and it's in your heart and it's in your belly, God wants to get rid of it. He wants to take it out. Yeah. Don't let it get down deep. Speak words, good words, over yourself. You know, the only thing that can hinder you from prospering is you. It's your mouth. It's your tongue. It's the only thing. So this morning, church, do you want me to close? This morning, church, if people have spoken words over you that you want to get rid of, we're going to have a ministry team up here and they will pray for you. If you want to love the one in front of you because you find it hard, for whatever reason, come up to the front. And if you're here this morning and want to know about this Jesus that we're talking about, this God that we love, and you don't know him, but you want to get to know him, then come up to the front, because someone will help you learn about him. Thank you.